Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Having spent the last week and a half on Rogers Campground for both Pork Fest and the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which are two camping experiences for liberty-minded people, or at least they should be for liberty-minded people, and that's sort of what we've come to realize here, is that maybe, we can't be sure, but maybe the problems that came from this year's event, and there's always some kind of problem, right? Like the water doesn't work one day because too many people use too much water. There's just too many people in the park, and that is one of the issues with this event growing to the size that it has, is Rogers Campground is the largest campground in New Hampshire. There's no other campground that could handle an event like this. And it can't handle this event. The infrastructure there can't handle it. That people have to bring in porta potties and things like that from the outside. And apparently those were being overused because the campground facilities were being shut down because there was no water. There's always some kind of...
They were shut down the entire time. Like, I think...
I heard it was at least 3 days or something.
I think
like
from
that.
Wednesday on, all of the bathrooms were closed. I think they reopened today. But, like, yeah, I was shocked because I go to my hotel room to use the bathroom, right? But...
The water's off.
Even then, the water was off. It's like, guys, people need to use the bathroom. They need to shower and stuff.
Yeah, you pay $100 for a night or $110 a night at the hotel. You expect the water to
work. There's no water whatsoever. And I realized that Rogers can't do anything about this. And I pointed out, you know, well, maybe. I don't remember exactly how I phrased it, but the... I don't remember exactly what I said, but you said, well, there's not a larger campground.
That's right.
And that's true. There's
no
not.
Other place to go.
But I honestly, then the problem here is that the event is just
it's too big. It's gotten too big.
And we could trim that down by not inviting non-libertarians.
Absolutely. So I want to go back to the phones here. And again, this is not to say the event is bad. It's great. That's why it's become so big. That's why it is a tremendous success. It's the world's largest libertarian gathering. And I'm including conventions in this as well. It is a huge success. And it's a lot of fun. And overall, it's a blast. I highly recommend it.
I would happily run out of water for those days to spend more time with libertarians and people who love the ideas of liberty. And I only ever complained about that twice, and it was solely in the Fork Fest chat, where like colleagues, I suppose, see it. Like,
but there are problems that come with popularity, and one of those problems this year was some vandalism happened in an overnight. And Cameron's on the line here with us, listening to KINX in Montana tonight on the FM band. Cameron, you wanted to suggest that maybe this was the work of agents provocateur. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know enough about the incident at hand, but I do know that everyone knows about the Ray Epps thing and the and then if you go deeper,
Ray Epps was an alleged federal instigator behind the January 6th thing.
Okay, correct.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think '99 or 2000 there was evidence of the I think it was the WTO protest in Seattle.
There have been evidence of police involvement in many protests since that time. There was one in the George Floyd protests in Minnesota back then. There was an alleged officer who was doing things there. I mean, there's been so many different examples.
That said, these don't I had an LGBTQ flag flying at the site, and I fully expected it to get vandalized, probably by some upset conservative, but in fact, nothing like that happened.
They didn't do that. Okay.
The sites that were vandalized were all right there at the front row, highly, easily accessible, right?
At the end cap of the aisles. Basically.
I was right near the end of it and started moving some of the more expensive, like speakers, like some of the more expensive equipment, like Captain Speaker, into the inside of their tent at the Shire Society area because I was worried about vandalism. But nothing like that ever actually happened. It was pretty clear that it was just people who happened to walk by. It was a crime of the moment, right? It was a crime of opportunity. They saw this thing, they were drunk and stupid probably, and they wanted to cause some quick, easy damage.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that because I heard...
Well, none of it was permanent.
Well, but wait a minute. You're giving the examples of the vandalism where at one of the drink stations, some people poured some of the drink containers out, right? Like the hot tea or whatever it was, the soda, that sort of thing. But there were also, from what I understand, at least one place, there was a pie station where people could self-serve pie and pay into a change box. I heard that change box got stolen.
Yes, at least two money boxes for deposits and stuff got stolen.
That sounds to me like they got scoped out during the day.
I think that's unrelated to the vandalism, though.
Okay, could be, but that's not a crime of the moment.
Right.
That's somebody scoping out during the day and saying, oh,
absolutely,
there's a cash box.
That's
right?
Someone who saw a cash box, made a mental note of it, and came back when they knew there wouldn't be anyone around, without a doubt.
Yeah. Yes. I hope they emptied that cash box before going to bed.
Sounds like they did not.
Oh, God. All right, Cameron, what else?
Oh, I just mostly I would compare it to, you know, if you see a mouse or two in your house, you know, that's the Ray Epps and the things that get projected out or publicized. But that's an indicator of a way bigger culture and network of that going on. I would not put it past at all. I'd almost guarantee that it's happening in the libertarian movement and all of that.
No doubt.
Sure.
The FBI has been infiltrating political movements from the beginning. I mean, that is ultimately half of what they do. This, according to a former agent who Mark interviewed, I think it was last year or something like that, that said it's literally half of what the FBI does is, you know, just investigate these political movements.
Yeah, and I mean, you're silly if you're here in New Hampshire, a part of the Free State Project. You don't think that at least some of the people you know are direct. If they're not FBI employees,
they're informants. Yeah.
I mean, I can think of at least one person. I would bet my Eclipse this person is an FBI agent, deep undercover, right? And we know these people. Yeah. And even if I'm wrong, we know these people are there. We've encountered them. Like 2 years ago, I think there was one of the people who was here at the studio during the raids was alleged to have been at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Mm-hmm. Like, we know there are FBI agents there and undercover police officers and stuff there that are watching things and keeping an eye on things. It's definitive.
But not just watching and keeping an eye. I mean, what Cameron's pointing out here is they may be actually instigating.
I don't think that's what this was, to be fair. But I hadn't even considered the possibility prior to now. But the vandalism in particular, I think, was just a crime of opportunity.
Teenagers.
Yes.
Possibly. Yeah, I mean, the cash box stuff, I mean, there's people that just steal cash boxes from festivals. You know, there's that's just what they, you know, that can happen at any festival.
Yeah, just could be some local crackhead who knew there was...
The tragedy here is that libertarians, we trust each other because we all have known each other for years and we just leave our cash boxes out. And now you can no longer do that. Like, now you have to lock your doors in this neighborhood, right?
Yeah, that's a bad feeling.
Like, what the hell has changed between 4 years ago where you didn't have to lock your doors when you went to bed at night to now when you do have to bring
like
in
you said, there's these politicians that came in that had never been here
something
before.
Something has definitively changed from then to now, and we see a correlation there. So
thanks for bringing that up tonight, Cameron. Anything else you want to share?
Oh, no, that's it.
All right, man. I appreciate the call here tonight. The number is 603-283-6160. Major Payne is on the line here in Michigan. Go ahead, Major.
Hey, guys. Yeah, there's lots of local people out here that sell firewood by the side of the road.
Yep.
You know, they'll either bundle it or they'll make a little wooden V and sell it.
$4 a bundle, $5 a bundle. Yeah, that actually happens up here, too. As you're driving into the Porcupine Freedom Festival, you should get your firewood from one of those people because it's more expensive when you get to the park. So that's the way to do it.
And it's the same way. It's the same way if you go to the state park, because they won't let you cut firewood in the state park. Mm-hmm. I got asked by the fish pigs one time for firing up my chainsaw. Came back to camp and there was a nasty note on my chair.
I can imagine.
But, anyway, what these guys do is they'll get an old steel mailbox, you know, the old type that hung on your grandma's front porch. You got a little slit in the top.
Right.
And a little hoop to put a padlock in. And that stops most mischief.
Yep.
And if you got to use one of them big, you know, like cheesy poof jars or something, just take an old coffee can lid, shoot three screws through it, put it in the bottom of the jar, screw that to a big old stump that they ain't going to want to carry away.
I mean, you're missing the point, though.
Rip that thing off and stump that coffee can lid in there, and then maybe take some hot glue and glue the damn top on. Then
there are solutions to the problem.
No doubt, Major. You can also just, you know, stand guard around your cash box all the time. The issue here isn't... The issue here is very clearly the fact that 2 years ago, you were fine to leave your cash box sitting out there, and now you do have to safeguard. You got to bring it in at night, or you have to keep an eye on it, or whatever. That's the issue. Obviously, there are countless things that people can do now that we know that we have to do it to keep our property safe. The travesty is that now we have to go out of our way to keep our property safe.
The thing is you guys are trying to create a utopia, and you're dealing with mankind, and I don't think...
No one's trying to create a utopia.
We're trying to create a temporary libertarian society in the woods that operates according to libertarian principles, and that's impossible.
And it was successful for many years.
And now it's impossible because there are non-libertarians there.
Yep.
You're just talking about the party. I'm talking about the whole libertarian mindset.
Well, no, it's not a utopia. The idea of ending... The institutionalization of violence is all the libertarians generally are focused on. I mean, we want to end violence individually, but that's, you know, you can't just do that through a political process, right? Like, that has to be a huge change to humanity and a huge renaissance. But even then, you're still going to deal with crazy people, and they're never going to, and psychopaths, and those people are never going to change their viewpoint on that. And that's the reality. So you can end the government if we can get to that point. When we end the institution of violence, the monopoly on violence known as the state, we're still going to have crazy people. We're still going to have violent and dangerous people out there, and there have to be ways to deal with that. All Arya is saying is, let's not invite them to our party in the woods.
Yeah, right. Pretty much
that. When they know the party's there, they're going to come.
That's true. You're right about that. And the townies do know, typically, that the Porcupine Freedom Festival is going on, and it could very well have been. It may not have been the politicians attracting the wrong crowd. It could just be some local crackhead who knows that the event's there. They came in, they scoped it out, and then they snatched some boxes.
There's a long history of Porkfest attendees blaming townies for things, though. Mm-hmm.
There have been townies that have come in and started problems.
Presumably, there's no evidence that townies have snuck in and vandalized
there
things at night.
There is evidence that they've at least snuck in. There have been people who've had their Porkfest magnets stolen from their cars at local grocery stores and things like that, that ostensibly the townies then use to put on their own vehicles so they look like they're welcome at the event, that kind of thing. So there have been examples of this that have gone on, and there have been alleged townies coming in.
That's a lot of steps. I think I put the sticker on your car or the magnet on your car on, like, the final day.
Yeah, it's not enforced these days, but there was a time when there was, like, security at the gate.
That's true, there was, yeah.
And so there was an interest by the townies getting into the event.
Whether you had to show your wristband to get in, I remember that.
Whether it was to just go and crash a party at night and, you know, hang out at the rave or whatever, or it was to cause some kind of trouble, there have been some incidents. This isn't the first year there have been some incidents, but it definitely sounded like the worst year as far as, like, vandalism.
I'm scared we might see a return of those border checkpoints and the papers, please sort of thing. Because
I don't think it helped anything.
No, it didn't. I mean, that sort of vandalism, as you described, as you mentioned, it happened back then as well.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't stop anything now.
And I don't think they were 24/7. I don't think they were out there overnight.
But, you know, that's what people are going to ask for. They're going to say, why don't you provide some sort of security? And, well, that's what security, they did this 5 years ago.
Yeah, double the ticket price, too.
Every festival I've ever been to, they check you for a wristband if you want to get back in.
I'm glad that's not happening at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, honestly. And if it's 4 a.m., that ain't going to happen anyway.
No, this is a libertarian festival. It's not like your average festival.
Thank you for the call tonight, Major. I appreciate it.
I've been to Hippie Fest several times in my life, which is this festival in Mississippi. I've never been to Burning Man, but I've been to a bunch of similar, smaller events, and, of course, to a lot of music festivals. And I've been to the Libertarian Festival that is the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and it's fundamentally different from any other festival out there.
Let's continue. We've got Mr. Butt on the line in New Mexico. Go ahead.
What'd you just call me?
Jesus Christ.
You heard
it.
You say the same damn thing every time you call in.
How do you get, I got a question on your case, first of all, but how do you get Mr. out of Major anyway?
What was the question about the case?
Well, the question about the case, and also, Arya, why do you wear lingerie when you're doing your radio program? Is there a purpose?
Am I wearing lingerie?
Yeah, you are.
It's a bra, right? I mean,
well, it's not even a bra. Well, it's just a top, right?
Okay.
I'm not even wearing a bra.
It's lacy looking.
Do you want me to take it off, David? I can take it off.
take it off. Take it off, Arya. Show the world. Show the world.
I do this every Tuesday night.
Except for this week.
Today, Tuesday?
No, it is not.
That's correct. I will not be doing it Tuesday.
She's here specially on... normally, we're not. Neither of us are here on Sunday nights. So it's a special episode of Free Talk Live because Arya is going to prison, and she wanted to be here, so here she is.
And, of course, this Tuesday, I will be in prison, so I will not be topless here. But, yeah, okay, is that better, David?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, good.
You can see the video feed over at watch.freetalklive.com.
So, question on the case, but to help you understand what Sarah is trying to sell you.
No, we can't move on yet, David. I have to know why did you even care about my outfit?
Well, because you say that you are female, and females that I know wouldn't go on the program that you're doing and do it in a bra.
David, I wondered
why you do it.
Go on Twitter right now and look up FTL Ian and look up just a few days ago at the Porcupine Freedom Festival where we did exactly this show with
topless with
a bunch of cis girls like Nikki and Marley and a bunch of others who were standing around topless and proud to be topless.
That was at a Freedom Festival. You do it on the regular on your program.
There was actually a regular topless Wednesday episode of Free Talk Live for at least, 4 or 5 weeks or something like that?
That you're surrounded by prudes is not my problem, David.
Yeah, you're just wrong about this one.
No. I don't care if you go naked. I'm just wondering why it seems, what's the word? There's a word when you're promoting it. You're doing it to make a point rather than because average women don't do it.
No, the hot ones like Nikki. Have you seen Nikki, dude?
She's above average for sure.
She's gorgeous. I've got a fantastic body.
I'm talking about you. I'm talking about the average, like for instance, the average radio listener that's female. If they did a radio program instead of listening to one, they wouldn't cross their mind to do it in their bra.
Who cares?
It might. Well, I wasn't in my bra anyway.
Arya, by definition, you are not an average woman, and that's okay.
That's fair enough. True as well.
And women who generally, by the way, go topless. And thanks for the call tonight. Women who go topless is sort of like their activism or whatever are also, by definition, not average. These are women who are willing to show themselves in public, at least toplessly, in that case. And that is very unusual. And this actually comes up to another part of the Porcupine Freedom Festival that I think is worth discussing, which is the Body Freedom Village aspect of what happened at Porkfest this year, which is a place where people, should they choose, could be completely naked.
And female topless for sure should not be frowned upon. I mean, men go around topless all the time. And they do it at the Porcupine Freedom Festival all the time. And to their credit, no one gave us a hard time. And I saw a few other women walking around completely topless.
Oh, really?
They had body paint on.
Okay, still.
And, yeah, so
that's not going to stop a conservative from having a conniption.
It was very good body paint. And I could not tell whether or not it was a bikini top or if it was body paint. But it turned. I had to look really close. And I didn't mind being that creepy. Like, excuse me. I'm just trying to
examine your nipples here.
Yeah, it's not creepy if you call attention to it, right? It's creepy if you stand there like getting up close, but if you're like, excuse me, I just want to look at your nipple for a second. Hold on. Then it's not creepy, and it's totally fine. Trust me, I do this professionally, guys.
But
all you got to do is say, I need to look at your nipple closely, and it won't be creepy.
By definition, though, depends. depends on the guy, I think. But by definition, these are very unusual people.
Right.
And that's because the society we're in thinks like David, right? They think, what? You can't just walk around showing your nipples. That's the way it's always been. Women are supposed to be covering up. That's the way it's been since, you know, the Quakers or whoever it was that that came here. Maybe Quakers might have been cooler about it, but the Puritans. The Puritans came here, and they put scarlet letters on people, and they didn't like sex, and, you know, blah, 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 the whole nonsense that...
What was the scarlet letter about? Was that someone who was unfaithful
she cheated.
Or something?
Yeah, okay, she cheated. Yeah, she had to wear the scarlet letter because she cheated. But, you know, these people are still with us. This
they
mentality
are.
Is still with us. It is ridiculous, the idea that naked people, naked bodies are sexual. No, they are not. People are born naked. There's nothing sexual about nudity when you're born. And the only reason you think there's something sexual about nudity later on is because somebody told you so.
Yeah, we're conditioned that way. It's Pavlov's dog all over again.
Right.
For those who don't know, Pavlov ran an experiment where every time before he fed his dog, he rang a bell.
Mm-hmm.
And so after a few weeks of this, every time he rang the bell, the dog thought it was dinner time.
He would
wag his tail, he would salivate, mm-hmm. right? And what he learned from that is, I have trained this dog to associate the bell with food and with pleasure and happiness. And we've done the exact same thing with nudity and sex.
Mm-hmm.
The only
yeah,
time you
point.
Ever see someone who's naked or you ever interact with someone who's naked is for a sexual reason. Barring something like changing a baby's diapers or something like that, by and large,
yeah.
the only time you're naked and you're with someone who's naked is when you're about to have sex, which,
mm-hmm.
of course, is a huge dopamine rush and is heavily associated with pleasure. And you've
right.
been trained and conditioned by all society to hide your nudity and to only embrace your nudity, only display your nudity for the purposes of sexual gratification. So over time, yes, we've come to just closely associate those two things, and most conservatives don't realize it because... It's been going on their entire...
They're programmed.
Yes.
They're literally programmed to react in this way. And so because they associate nudity with sex, they say, whoa, you can't have children seeing
yes.
naked people. Oh, my God, there's a topless woman at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Hide the kids. Oh, first of all, don't even bring the kids, some of these conservatives say. We can't possibly have them see a drag queen or a topless person or, oh, my God, a naked guy walking down the street. This is terrible. He's a pervert. No. Just because somebody is naked does not mean they're trying to, like, make it with your children. It doesn't mean they're a pervert. It just means they feel more comfortable naked. It's hot outside.
And just because you associate nudity with sex doesn't mean that everyone else does. Just because you salivate when you hear the ringing bell doesn't mean that the ringing bell is inherently linked to food.
Right.
Or that everyone else is thinking about food when they hear a bell ringing.
And if you can't handle it, if you hear us talking about there being topless women at the Free Talk Live tent on one day this week, or you hear about what's called Body Freedom Village, which is a series of campsites that was located sort of away from a lot of the other campsites.
They're worth to their credit, but I don't think they should be. I mean,
I agree.
I agree. I'm happy that they agreed to that, I guess, for the sake of, you know, not creating problems, but...
It's not them who's creating the problem, though. They did agree to it for the sake of peace at the festival, but it was the conservative types, and actually some progressives, too, the left and the right, by the way. They are offended. Maybe it's equally, maybe it's not. I don't know. But there's people who are offended on both sides of the political spectrum about this, and they are so upset at the idea that there could be naked people nearby children. That must be grooming, it must be perverted, it must be sexual, and it is none of those things. They had the Naked Olympics
at
Body Freedom Village. It happened to be the same day that Bonnie and I were up there. We were there on Friday. It happened on Friday, so we went to check it out. And let's talk about it coming up here
Excellent.
In a moment. The number is 603-283-6160. You can, of course, bring up whatever you want here on Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, today, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. Former Vice President Mike Pence says it's premature for any presidential candidate to talk about a pardon for former President Trump. Speaking on Fox News Sunday, Pence acknowledged the 37-count indictment against Trump is serious, but that taking a position on a pardon is a presumption of guilt. It turns out U.S. intelligence agencies briefed the White House and Congress last week of an expected armed rebellion in Russia. The spy agencies had picked up strong signals in mid-June that Wagner Group mercenary boss Yevgeny Prigozhin was planning a revolt against Russia's defense ministry. The Republican chair of the House Intelligence Committee wants data related to a COVID-19 probe to be declassified. Ohio Congressman Mike Turner said on CBS's Face the Nation that Friday's report from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence was not sufficient. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Ian and Aria here in the studio tonight on this live Sunday episode, 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live brought to you by Mark Warden's Porcupine Real Estate. Mark is, by the way, a longtime sponsor, not just here, but also of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. He's a great liberty activist who moved his business here. He was a real estate agent, I think, out in the Vegas, if I recall correctly, in the Vegas area. And then he moved to New Hampshire more than a decade ago, and he set up this real estate agency that has become just invaluable to the Liberty community here. And they're doing really interesting webinars online, focusing on some of the really cool freedoms that we've got here in New Hampshire, like gun freedom, medical freedom, political freedom, victories that the Free Staters have been having. They've also got seminars on their best practices for moving to New Hampshire and finding housing here as well. So you can attend these for free. Just go to move.freetalklive.com. That'll take you to the Porcupine Real Estate site where you can get registered for the upcoming webinars of your choice. And you can also visit Porcupine Real Estate on their YouTube channel to see past presentations. Again, you can go sign up for the upcoming ones, though, at move.freetalklive.com. We've been talking about the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Aria, you spent the last week and a half at Rogers Campground, and overall, great event. You had a good time. I think, you know, everybody I talked to.
Recommend it.
Yeah, everybody I talked to was having a great time. There's always some challenges. You know, the water got shut off a few times, apparently. There's apparently some unfortunate vandalism that happened on one of the final nights. And that's...
And to be fair, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about the vandalism and that. Mm-hmm. I don't expect the Porcupine Freedom Festival organizers to do anything about it.
What could they do?
Yeah, I don't think it's their responsibility to do anything about it. I don't think
we don't know who did it.
Yeah, I don't think they owe anyone any money. I don't think they should take any steps to try to prevent it. I think they've done everything they could do. I don't think the issue here is with anything that could be fixed by the Porkfest organizers. So, Dennis and Constance, it's not on you.
Although,
I want to make that clear.
Although, we speculated that maybe inviting politicians, national politicians, to speak at this event or allowing them to speak or whatever on the main stage could have contributed to bringing some undesirables into the park. That doesn't mean that was what happened. That doesn't mean that.
But I do think it is a cultural issue.
A shift.
Yes. Yeah. And I think we can fix that by getting back to the heart of libertarianism.
Yeah, I agree. The event should focus on libertarians. It should focus, I think, specifically on the libertarian activists here in New Hampshire. I mean, it's one thing to have, you know, a libertarian celebrity like a John Stossel or somebody like that come and speak. I see that. I understand why they do that. But honestly, I don't think you need it. I don't think, first of all, you definitely don't need national politicians. Cut them right out of the picture. We don't need these people. It does. The event would have been huge without any of those people speaking. It would have been a tremendous success. It would have sold over 2,000 tickets or whatever. I don't know how many tickets they sold. I heard it was more than 2,000, but I haven't heard the final numbers as far as walk-ins and all that. But
man, it was so disheartening to see the RFK thing.
With the metal detectors and security.
Because when I saw that, I was like, man, the Porkfest organizers should have seen this. Like, man, get out of here with this. Get out of here. You're not welcome here anymore. You know, come on, man. Seriously, get out of here. But they didn't do that. And Justin ranted about this during Soapbox Idol last night about how RFK shouldn't have been there in the first place. Mm-hmm. And there shouldn't be a gun-free zone. But, like, maybe, but did you see how many people came to this thing?
A lot of people.
Right? It's not just a matter of him being there. People came. People put up with it. They came to hear him speak. So, yes, him speaking there is part of the problem. But the much bigger problem is the fact that people wanted to hear him speak.
I agree. I agree with that, yeah. And I'll say this. I don't know everybody at Porkfest, right? Like, I don't know, maybe a couple hundred or a few hundred. I would recognize a few hundred people at Porkfest. So it's not really fair for me to say this, but I'm going to say it. When I saw the video that Jeremy Kaufman posted of the lines of people that were waiting outside the RFK speech, I didn't recognize a lot of people. I recognized maybe two people that were in the line. And that's only because they happen to be wearing Crypto 6 shirts. I'm like, oh, I know that one. But
I'll watch again. I didn't look for that. I didn't look at faces. I just took it in.
Yeah, it didn't look like a lot of people that, you know, would register to me as in the community.
That sort of makes sense because, I mean, we are, again, we don't know everyone, but we are more plugged into the community of active libertarians.
No, not these days. And we certainly don't know everybody who's attending the event.
No, certainly not.
But, you know, it did make me wonder how many of these people are coming to this event. Now, supposedly you did have to buy a ticket to Porkfest to attend the RFK speech, so they were checking that, I think.
You could just buy a day pass?
If those were available, then yes, you would have been able to do that. But still, you would have had to have bought a ticket. So they weren't just letting in randos, right, without having paid, at least. But still, what percentage of those people were there just to see this person speak? How many of those people were actually there because they cared about the festival and were interested in libertarianism versus just wanted to see this politician talk? What politician says words at Porkfest? So, yeah, I agree with you. They shouldn't have been there in the first place. And I think that, honestly, they should be focusing on just New Hampshire libertarians on that main stage. I think that's who is the most interesting. I think it you know, highlighting the community is the best thing you can possibly do with that main stage. But, again, I'm not running the event. It's not my decision.
Well, just don't rent the main stage, right?
Well, that would be a way to decentralize Porkfest.
Someone rented the main stage at Porkfest the week prior, the Saturday prior, and they had a wedding there.
That's right.
And, yes, we proved.
Which you officiated.
Yes, you can, in fact, rent out the pavilion privately. And
yeah,
have your own
that.
Event there, and it would be very easy.
You got $1,000, Rogers will rent it to you.
Yes, it would be very easy for someone to rent it out and then, you know, sub-rent it out to people who wanted to give speeches or whatever, yeah. Or have tickets for that event. I mean, these things are possible. It's possible to decentralize the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
The rumor, by the way, about Tulsi Gabbard and why she canceled is that she wanted security, she wanted Porkfest to take care of security. For her.
And travel expenses, I heard.
Right, to the tune of $4,500 for her security.
I had heard that. And that the solution to the travel thing was to send Reed, who does the show here, to pick her up in a vehicle.
He hasn't done for a while. Okay. He's been traveling and all that.
And, like, I think there's a huge disconnect there between what a career politician like Tulsi Gabbard would expect
in
regard to travel. Like, she probably expected a limousine with some drivers or something, right?
Bulletproof glass.
And, like, here's a libertarian in a Ford Escort or whatever.
he's got a Ford.
I don't know what he drives.
It's an F-150 or something or 250 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a
Chevy or something.
Yeah. Just for the image. And I can imagine that, you know, when... I don't know if that's true, right?
But it makes me wonder... Who paid for RFK's security? Because he definitely had a security detail. I don't know how many agents there were.
They had some sort of metal detectors?
They had metal detectors. So you took pictures of them setting them up.
I assumed they were metal detectors.
That's what those are, absolutely. Okay. And they had multiple security agents. Did you get a count? Did you have any idea?
No. But they looked like security agents.
Yes. So
it would at least have been a dozen.
Did he have his own security?
I don't know. There was security there for RFK, but who paid for them?
Yeah. I would presume he has his own guys that go around with him everywhere because he's fairly high visibility and he's a lawyer and he probably has some good money coming in.
Did your ticket sales pay for RFK's gun-free zone? I think that's the question that people should sort of ask. And as James Babb pointed out when he did a rant last night at Soapbox at Earl. Right, like... Those little metal detectors are not going to protect. Look, man, if you're taking on the deep state in any meaningful capacity, those stupid little metal detectors not going to save you.
It's
complete security theater. And people are making excuses for it. Well, you can't blame him. He did have two family members killed by the deep state. Well, first of all, you're assuming they were killed by the deep state. And I think you're probably right to make that assumption. But you don't get to act like that's just a historical fact.
Did they roll him up
in your argument?
In a bulletproof limousine or something?
I don't know.
Did he, like, get
right out? I
wasn't
there for that part of it.
Did he walk right out from the limousine right into the pavilion? Like,
I suspect he did.
Steps? I was wondering how it would have gone down. Anyway, let's come back to body freedom. Because that's what we were talking about.
It's a more fun topic.
Yeah, and this is one of the most controversial things ongoing, right?
But it shouldn't be.
I agree with you, but it is, regardless. Right. The conservatives, they still have not, and they probably never will, understand this issue. And it turns out some progressives as well are just as authoritarian and just as bad as the conservatives about this. There's people online... This one guy, Jethro Bass, who's just been obsessing over, he's obsessed over the Free State Project. He apparently is some New Hampshire progressive guy. And he literally goes on every Free Stater thread and posts about how you guys are being naked around children. And just freeing and freaking out about it.
It always concerns me when someone sees someone naked and their first thought is always something to do with children.
That is
right?
Weird.
Like, that's weird.
Yep.
I don't think about children when I see a naked dude.
Nope.
I went to the Body Freedom Village repeatedly. Never at any point did children cross my mind while I was there.
No, me neither. So here's what Carlin Borsenko has to say about it, at Dr. Carlin B., who she was, by the way, at the Body Freedom Village. In fact, I think she had her campsite purposely located nearby. She was selling things at her campsite, and she wanted to support Body Freedom Village by being in the vicinity.
But she's not a participant herself.
She wasn't naked when I saw her, but you
well,
don't
that's
have
how
to be
I am, right? I support it, but I wasn't naked at
right.
the time. Right.
Yeah, I don't
I
think
get it.
I don't know if you have to be naked to be a participant. I think just being there and hanging out makes you a participant
okay.
at Body Freedom Village. Bonnie and I bought a candle, for instance, from
sure.
They had these cool towels too that they custom made for the event. I don't know if you did you see the towels?
I don't think so.
So they had like the statue of David or something,
okay.
right, which is a naked man.
Right.
They had, like, the statue of David from chest down, so, like, including the crotch area and maybe the upper part of the legs, printed on a towel. And it said something about Body Freedom Village on it.
Okay.
But so the idea is you would wrap the towel around yourself if you were going to walk in the, you know, the regular camp zone area. And it's essentially the image of a man's penis
right.
that is on the front of your towel.
But it's David. It's a sculpture. It's art.
But it's it's a piece of artwork. They also had a female one as well. I think it was like, I don't know, Athena or something like that with, again, the you know, the breasts area and the lower area as
Alternatively,
well.
Alternatively, you could have just put on there, these are male nipples. Right? And that would have been totally acceptable, apparently.
It was a pretty creative thing, though, right? Like, to have these towels for sale. So that was another thing they had out there.
Great people over there at the Body Freedom Club.
Really, really fun group, creative. And so they had this event, the Olympics. They had a bunch of events, right? Like, they had parties. They had I think they had a gun show where you could walk naked with, like, your gun strapped on.
The gun show happened concurrently, I think, to RFK speech.
Nice. That's very cool. Yeah, I didn't get to go to that one.
I believe...
But. So yeah, so they had a whole list of things, but so we were only there for a short time, but we were able to get down there and see the a portion of the Olympics, which you did have to be naked to participate in what was called the Naked Olympics. So it makes sense, right? Like
right.
it's one of the requirements. And it was almost all dudes. There was one lady though that did participate in this. And Carlin was watching, so she was definitely spending some time there. She said this. She said, "I thought a lot about this over the past few days, and I'm totally on the body freedom or the pro body freedom bandwagon." She says it was an open, welcoming, positive environment. I can hear Jeff saying, he's the founder of it, saying all bodies are beautiful in my head. I can absolutely understand how it's a freeing and, dare I say, empowering experience. This was not a sexual event. This event was not dangerous to children. No one had to be there or participate. No one was hurt. Everyone had fun. There was nothing sexual about it. I'm so tired of pretending that anything to do with nudity is inherently sexual or bad. It's not. And that goes for the people riding the bikes naked in the Pride Parade at Libs of TikTok. That's the latest, one of the latest videos they've posted in the last 24 hours of all the outrage. Someone's naked on a bicycle. There's children.
Just stop paying attention to Libs of TikTok, people. It's just there to manufacture outrage and to exploit your outrage.
If you don't want your kids to see that, then don't take them. Problem solved. We shouldn't be teaching people to be ashamed of their bodies. If you truly believe that everything you don't like is sexual, then maybe you're the one who's projecting your own sexual repression and unlived urges onto everyone else. Go to effing therapy instead. And I feel like she nails it.
I mostly agree with that.
Post.
The only thing I don't agree with is the notion, or I don't remember exactly. She accused Jeffrey of saying all bodies are beautiful. She said something like something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And I don't agree. I don't want to see a 300-pound person naked. Right?
Wasn't there, by the way.
Right.
There was no one like that at the Body Freedom Village.
So I think some body shaming, not because they're naked, but mm-hmm. because their body is unappealing, is sometimes acceptable.
I would agree with your critique on that one, for sure.
But again, it's not because they're naked. It's because they're overweight.
And this wasn't a beauty contest, let's just be clear, right? Like,
right.
These are people who are average folks. I mean, there was a few of them that you could tell worked out, right? Like,
you actually mentioned that there were there was a woman there at one point, and that what's cool about the naturalists, the nudists, the body freedom people, is that in general, that's not an important distinction for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not about the sexual characteristics and the sex of the other person. It's not about that at all. So whether there were males there or females there is sort of inconsequential to the body freedom aspect of it. Like, there are people here, and they
yes,
are naked.
And they are naked.
And they are free to be naked, and whether they are men naked or women naked is completely irrelevant. They are just people naked.
And it was okay.
It was.
It was fun
to
watch.
No one got hurt. Everything was fine.
Lots of people were there to watch. Lots of media was there. The media was very interested in this event. The folks from NBC Boston were there with multiple cameras, and... the lady who interviewed us from the Boston Globe was present, observing as well. And so I think
she's awesome. She invited me to do some writing for the Boston Globe
while
in prison.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I might do that.
You absolutely should do that. I mean, if you can get published in, you know, mainstream media print, why not?
Well, she didn't promise me that. She said I should do it.
She doesn't. Yeah. Anyway.
I don't know to what extent she can actually make that happen.
That would be nice. Yeah. So I think this is really great that this event happened, that the Body Freedom Village was there. I didn't hear anything about them being vandalized or anything like that, so that's good. As you said,
that's my knowledge.
The flag that you had at our site was not torn down. We had what was called the Body Freedom Friendly signage at the Free Talk Live site, which I thought was a cool thing that they did because, as you pointed out, Body Freedom Village sort of agreed to have their own little zone in the camp area, in the RV area,
it
was about as far away from, like, the conservative religious zone as you could possibly get. So that makes sense to sort of separate
those
parties.
That said, I did have to walk by these evangelical Christians singing their stupid hymns and reading their Bibles repeatedly, and no one shamed them for that. It's like, has anyone told them what's actually in the Bible? And, like, that's offensive. You want to talk about damaging people and corrupting people and being immoral. How about that? Not the naked people.
Was there any shaming that went on at Porkfest that you heard about?
No.
I didn't hear about
it. That's why they were, you know, pushed all the way back there so that that sort of thing didn't happen. It happened last year.
Yeah, but you had topless people at the Free Talk Live site at RV 46, which is right in the heart of, you know, the main aisles of Porkfest. And you said some people were walking around with body paint on, but otherwise
I don't mean to suggest that there was any sort of shaming. My point is that if the Body Freedom Village people had to be way back there because they were offensive, what about the Christians spewing their hate speech? They should be way back there in the back. Get that even further away from decent, reasonable people.
So the fact that they came to this agreement with Porkfest to say, look, we'll have our thing over here, but then they came in with the signage, I thought was a smart move because it allowed the different areas of the site who were body freedom friendly to identify themselves. And so we did. You know, we put that up
obviously.
At the Free Talk Live site, which essentially meant that not only are we body freedom friendly, but it was like, hey, if you want to take, you know, your clothes off and be here, that's fine too. It's fine with us, at least. And I did not hear of any sort of big blow up of controversy over Body Freedom Village this time around, or anybody being partially nude or whatever walking around the site.
You're correct. I heard of none.
But online, online, the people who weren't from Porkfest.
Well, I disconnected from social media for most of this, and that remains true. I post some things and scroll,
So
people get off of social media. It's so bad for
you. I took Carlin's picture. Carlin took a picture, like, from a distance of one of the events at the Naked Olympics. It was a run. They had a race of some sort. And there's probably at least half a dozen people, maybe a little more than that, maybe like 8 or 9 people.
Okay.
From a distance, they're naked. They're all running away from the camera, so at best you can see some, you know, some butt cracks or whatever. That's about all you're going to get from this. But it's proof the event happened and people are having fun and they're running in the field. And so I posted this and I said, photo of the Naked Olympics at Porkfest, courtesy Dr. Carlin B. It was a good time. Prudish, fun-hating conservatives believe this is somehow a threat to children. And sure enough, there they came into the comments to let everybody know how terrible this is and posture themselves about how conservative they are and that how tough they are and that they're going to do something about this if it was their private property and so on and so forth. And this has been retweeted by these conservatives multiple times since then. I mean, by no means is it like, you know, 100,000 views or anything like that. But
it shouldn't be any, though. Right, because the people who were there on the ground experiencing this stuff had no issue with it.
Nearly exclusively.
There were a lot of weird issues. I mean, people complaining about music at 8 o'clock at night and stuff like that. Like
that happens.
Yeah, but at 8 o'clock at night?
It's lame, but the quiet time's supposed to be like 11, so they'll probably just be told to shut up and, you know, put some earplugs in. But the nearly every comment on this photograph is from conservatives, although there was at least one progressive lady, too, who were upset that people would go naked when children could potentially see them. It's always all about protecting the children from these naked people, even though this event wasn't for children, it wasn't advertised, but it's true.
Children could have come by. There was
what harm would that? What harm would there have been?
That's the thing. That's the thing I said was like, last year when Bonnie and I were there for the one day we were there last year, we went out to this area of the campground, and the naked people were there last year too, and they were playing frisbee. They were out in the field. They were playing frisbee with one another, and that's all they were doing. And we were in the field doing an interview with the Free State people who were doing a documentary.
Yeah.
And so we're watching this happen, you know, we're just seeing the frisbee being played, and along comes a group of, like, a pack of children. Sometimes they're, like, in big packs at Pork Fest, because they're playing tag or whatever it is that they're doing. And so this pack of kids that probably was between, you know, 8 and 11 or something like that, so pretty young, not teenagers, okay? So, like, this pack of children comes along, and they're playing whatever game they're playing, and, you know, we can see the naked people from where we are. They're a ways away, but you can see that there's naked people there. It's pretty clear. And obviously, these kids saw them at some point, because they're running around being kids, but they didn't, like, stop and stare. They weren't talking back and forth about the naked people or making it any sort of issue amongst themselves whatsoever.
They don't care. They're going back to whatever game or whatever they're playing.
They literally did not care at all. And they just did their own thing, and they ran over. They even ran nearer to the naked people playing the frisbee. But again, it had no effect on them, no visible effect whatsoever.
See, what the conservatives would do, they would take that child, they would march it up to the nudity people, and they would sit down and say, look at this, look at how terrible this is, this naked person
this
here.
Victim.
Doesn't that bother you? Doesn't make it sick to your stomach? And then look, how dare you make this child
right.
sick to their stomach?
Right.
That's exactly what they're doing. It's gross.
Right, so they're imprinting or attempting to imprint this fear of nudity, the idea of nudity as sexual, with kids who, by default, do not have this belief.
No, they were born naked.
Right. And so it's just like, this is so unoffensive to me, the idea that people were having a naked Olympics or that people were hanging out on a campsite naked.
But we're so far gone, man. Right, like, when I hear about naked people having the Olympics, I'm like, okay. Cool.
Yeah, it's great. I think it's great.
But the average person, well, I mean, we
can't handle.
Yeah, we're so far away
right.
from that, though.
Well, that's why I think it's important to talk about this.
Because, absolutely.
Because people do not understand this, and they really get turned off. And if you're getting turned off by the idea of this, you don't belong at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. You don't belong in the little area for the conservative types. You don't belong there at all, because there's a certain type of Christian who can handle this. There's a certain type of Christian who's like, yeah, whatever, it's not for me, but not my life. And they can exist on the same campground as these people. And they can tell their kids, like, you know what, that's a naked person, it's okay, Jesus would have loved them too, right? Like, there's a way to answer this as a Christian that is not hatred, that is not fear of the other. So those Christians do exist, and they're the best kind of Christians, because they're like the leave me alone type of Christians, right?
They yeah, it would be Bible very study. Easy to say, well, they believe in being naked, and we don't believe
yeah,
that.
So right, that's
keep your pants on, kid.
Story's over, and let's go back to Bible study, okay. Right? So if you can coexist like that, you belong. If you understand the ideas of liberty, and that is to say allowing other people to express their freedom in the way that they want, you're the right kind of person for this community, the community of liberty-minded people migrating here to New Hampshire. The other people, the people who are upset by this, stay away from the Porcupine Freedom Festival, because there were dozens and dozens of people at this event. It was very, very well attended, and kudos to Body Freedom Village. We're out of time for tonight. Maybe we'll get into the SEC tomorrow night. I think you're coming back for the final show, at least for a few months.
I am indeed.
Tomorrow night. Between then and now, you can join us online at freetalklive.com.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. Not Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling four-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these four-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.